All right.
Had a great time in this church, time and time again. I was ordained in this church about 25 years ago. About 32 years ago, we preached to the young people in camp year after year in the Wanata Valley. Some of those folks are gray-haired now, Brother Moses and some of those. So just been a great time in this church. And I got to marry your pastor and his present wife. And it was the first wedding I ever performed. So just been a tremendous time with you folks. Let's turn to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Boy, the music in this church is just outstanding, folks. It still is. We're going to have the Hurleys sing the invitation hymn, that same song, the invitation hymn. So be ready. All right. This tremendous song, Jesus Christ Died for Our Sin. All right, Psalm 127, tremendous psalm about the family. We're going into Psalm 128 also. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. And thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Now, this is a tremendous two psalms about the family. We're going to discuss Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We as Americans don't need God. We have our computers. We have our technology. We're the breadbasket of the world, folks. We are feeding the rest of the world, for the most part. With our technology, we can send space probes into space and bring back pictures billions of miles away. Even they're going now out into outer space, beyond our planets. It's amazing what we as Americans can do. With our Yankee ingenuity, we Americans don't need God. We can do anything until a little hurricane comes along. They can predict where it's going to land about. They're not sure exactly, but there's nothing they can do about it. And then a tornado touches down, 2 minutes, and its city is wiped out. Then a little earthquake happens, just a little shaking, 15 seconds, but say it shakes buildings down that men have built up. It causes great havoc and consternation. And a bigger one is coming, folks. Is it God's judgment on us? I think it's very significant that judgment came to San Francisco. Another big judgment is coming to Miami because these are the homosexual capitals of the world. Now, folks, God is still in control, and we need God. Now we need God when we build our families, when we build our house. Now this house refers to our homes. When you build your home, you need God. You may feel you have all the insurance programs, the IRA, the retirement programs, all the protections that you need. You have a fine home, you have good food, a good job, everything of the sort. But you need God if you're going to build a home. The scripture here says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now, do you have God as you're building your home? Do you have God in your life? You need God. Now, we know that we can only have God in our life, we can only have God in our home, if we come to God through Jesus Christ. You must come to God through Jesus Christ. There's no other way to God except through Jesus Christ. Now, have you received him? Do you know him as your personal Savior? You need God in your life. We all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. We all are going to have to pay for our sin. There's none righteous, no, not one. And the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment of God is coming on men. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, who obey not the gospel of his truth, who shall suffer everlasting destruction from the glory of the Lord and from the presence of his power. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. We are warned about the judgment of God. Say, God does judge cities. He does judge countries. But God's going to one day judge individuals for their sin. You need a remedy for your sin. You need to have your sins taken care of before you die. Otherwise, you're going to see the terrible judgment of God. You need God, and the only way that you can come to God is through Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on Calvary's cross alone for your sins, my sins, the sins of the whole world. He shed his precious blood that we might have eternal life. Have you ever believed on Jesus Christ? And have you ever received him as your personal Savior, turning from your sin, repenting, and accepting him into your life? I did it 48 years ago, the back end of a scout meeting room. My buddies had gotten saved, converted, and then they wanted their friend to be saved, to go to heaven. And they preached to me, they talked to me, they begged me. And finally, I said, I want what you guys have got. I want Jesus Christ. And I humbly accepted him into my life. And Jesus Christ made a great, big, gigantic difference in my life. He gave me eternal life. He made a new creature out of me. He set my feet on solid rock. He gave me a terrific philosophy in the Word of God to live by. Jesus Christ has made the difference in my life, and he made the difference in your life. Now, the only reason that I've been able to raise children for God, the only reason I've been able to build a good Christian home, is because I received Jesus Christ into my life. I have God. I came to God through Jesus Christ. Have you ever done that? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You might have a wonderful home and all the plans, retirement plans and everything else. But your labor in vain that buildeth, that house is going to crumble. That home is going to crumble. You're going to sit up late and eat the bread of sorrows. Wake up early wondering where your children are. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now the second verse says, it is vain for you to rise up early, sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. If you have the Lord in your home, you're going to sleep well. You're not going to have to stay up late worrying about your children, wondering whether in drugs or sex or corruption or anything else. Your home is going to be going for God in a great way. Now I want you to notice the second part of the first verse. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Now what does that mean? They used to set a watchman on the gates of the city, and he would look for the enemy. And over the horizon, he would see the enemy coming. And he would warn the people, shut the gates, shut the gates. The enemy is coming. Prepare for war. But this watchman fell asleep. The enemy came in the city. He woke up too late. Too late. The enemy was already in the city. And I'm afraid that the enemy is already in our homes. Dad, you've been commissioned to guard the city of your home. You've been commissioned to train your children for God, but you've been asleep. We dads have been asleep, and we wake up. The enemy's already in the city. What are the enemies of the home that have already invaded our homes? Number one is dad's neglect. Dad's neglect. Fathers have been commissioned to train their children. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, train them up in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Fathers, Deuteronomy the 6th chapter, you're to teach your children morning, noon, and night about the Word of God. You are the ones commissioned to train your children. But the fathers have been very neglectful. We got very upset when the Supreme Court decision took Bible reading and prayer out of the public schools. We want to have constitutional amendments to put Bible reading and prayer back in the schools. There's no Supreme Court decision about Bible reading and prayer in the home. Father's neglect has taken Bible reading and prayer out of the home. Only 1 out of 10 Christian families. What are some other enemies that have invaded our home? Number 2 is television. Television, the boob tube, or whatever you want to call it, that has invaded our home and changed the values of our home, the values of our society. Now, children are not born with a philosophy, folks. They're not born with values. They are taught these values. But who is teaching these values? Television. The average child watches 25 and a half hours of television a week. And it's passive reception. And children are absorbing the values of television. What kind of values are they absorbing? Listen to this survey that was made of 104 of the cream of the television creative community. The leading writers, producers, and executives of network television programs, 104 of them. This was done in July 1983. They found that these 104 writers, producers, and executives, only 7% of them attended any kind of religious service. Over 75% of them tended to be very socialistic and communistic. on moral issues, only 51% of them believed that adultery was wrong. 80% said that homosexuality was not wrong. Abortion was favored by 97%. And we could go on giving you all kinds of statistics about these people that are shaping the minds of your children and are shaping your mind, your values, your standards. Now, folks, we need to get rid of television from our home. It's an enemy that's invaded our home. Now, I'm not saying that you should throw it out. But let me challenge you with something. Would you, as Christians, be willing to pray and read the Bible as many hours a week as you watch television? That would revolutionize Christianity. That would revolutionize our churches. Now, my wife and I average about 1 or 2 hours a week. Now, there just isn't anything good on television to watch. Once in a while, there are educational programs. We don't even watch the news programs. Why? Because they have done secular studies and found that people who watch news programs are much more neurotic and fearful because they bring all the blood and guts and machine gun fire and everything right into your living room. And there's nothing you can do about it except be afraid. I would rather read all about it in Time magazine at the end of the week. The problems have all been solved. There's no problems. Now, folks, let's do something about this enemy that's invaded your home. This is number two. What is enemy number three? Enemy number three is rock music. Rock music. Now, the music itself is corrupting. The African beat, the New Guinea beat, the Haiti beat, which stirs the natives up to orgiastic experiences. And the rock musicians themselves claim that through their music, they can stir teenagers up to orgiastic experiences and orgiastic experiences. And rock concerts prove that. Now, it's not just the music itself. It's the words of the rock songs. Now, back in the 50s, the words of the rock songs were all about rebellion against authority, which resulted in the rebellious 60s. Now, the rock musicians know that to sell their records, they have to stay on the leading edge of shock. So they got some new words about free sex and drugs during the 60s. They bragged that between 1965 and 1970, they brought drugs and free sex down to the junior high and high school level. In the 1970s, it was all about sex perversion. Everything from incest, masturbation, bestiality, pedophilia, all kinds of perversions were a part of the words of these rock songs. In the 1980s, it was all about occultism and suicide, to the point where the PTA, the NEA, got upset about it, and finally the senators' wives petitioned the Commerce Department to make the rock musicians put advisory labels on their records and print the words of the songs on the jackets so the parents would know what their children were buying. Now, you can read all about it in the Reader's Digest, July 1988, page 101, How Shock Rock Affects Your Kids. Now, folks, if the world gets upset about rock music, we as Christians ought to get just a little upset about it, take our heads out of the sand, and do something about it in our own homes. Now, if you allow rock music in your home, you're either a little stupid or a little naive, one or the other. Now, you better do something about it. Now, I realize that you as parents were brought up in the 60s and 70s and say those rock songs were a part of your high school culture and bring back a lot of memories. I know it's difficult to shuck off this enemy, but you better do something about it if you don't want the devil to take your home. You say, Brother Fremont, what is the fourth big enemy that's invaded our homes? And we've wakened only to find that the enemy is right in our home. The next big enemy is the root of bitterness springing up, defiling many people. The root of bitterness, and I'm talking to some husbands, some wives that are bitter against each other. And you've carried this bitterness over for a period of weeks and months. I'm talking to some teenagers that are bitter against your mother or against your father. And this bitterness is springing up, defiling the whole family. And it's beginning to spill out into your community and into your church. Back of every church split and church fight is a root of bitterness in some deacon's family. And it begins to spread to other families. And first thing you know, you have a great big giant church split because of the root of bitterness springing up, defiling many people. Hebrews 12:15. Now, folks, we need to get this enemy out of our home. If you don't have love abounding between mother and dad, between the parents and their children, between the children and their parents, you've got an enemy in your home that's going to split your home wide open. There's one other enemy that has invaded our home, and that's the barrenness of busyness. The barrenness of busyness. Mothers working full time, and they're so busy, they have to come home then and work an additional 27 hours a week. The fathers don't help out. And we're so busy, we don't have time to train our children. And 72% of the mothers of school-age children are working full-time. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Mother does not have the time nor the energy to train her children after 40 hours of work and 27 additional hours of work at home. And dads are not helping out at home. And the child is left to himself to be brought up by other forces. Now, folks, we need to check up. By the way, 69.4% of the mothers of preschool children and infants are working full-time now in America. Back in 1950, it used to be only 15%. Now, folks, this is a tremendous enemy. Your wife working, if she's a mother of school-age children or preschool children, your wife working is the biggest decision you're ever going to make in your family. Now, I realize there are extenuating circumstances. There are widows with children. There are big hospital bills that need to be paid off. There's extenuating circumstances. Grandmother lives right down the way, and she can take care of the children. There's a lot of extenuating circumstances. I understand that. But the biggest decision that you're ever going to make in your home is whether mother should work full-time or not. Now, we need to beware of these enemies. Be aware and beware of these enemies that have invaded the home. The watchman waketh, but in vain. The enemy is already in the city. We've been asleep while the enemies have come into our home. Now, I want you to notice the next three verses, Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. When God gives you children, he gives you a tremendous blessing, a great heritage. What are you doing to build that heritage? It says we need to train them like arrows. They are like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. So are children of the youth. Happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them. Now, how full is a hunter's quiver? Well, a hunter used to have about 8 to 10 arrows in his quiver. He didn't want to go out with just one or two, so hey, happy is a man that has a number of children, 6, 7, 8 children. You say, oh no, how are we going to pay for them without mother working full time? Well, fathers, you need to trust the Lord. A man who can't provide for his own household is worse than an infidel. And you need to trust the Lord to provide for that family. We don't necessarily need a car for every child, a separate bedroom and a bath for every child and so forth. We can stack them up on bunk beds in one room and so forth. Now, we tend to feel as Americans that we need all the luxuries of life. So, yes, you have children and then you train them. Now, how do hunters form their arrows? Back when before manufacturing was around, say they used to form the arrows very carefully. They used to take the wooden shaft and trim it up so it was perfectly balanced. They would get the tip on just right and the feathers in just right. And then once that arrow was formed, and that's what we're doing with our children, we're training, we're shaving off here, we're shaving off there, we're training them, getting them perfectly balanced. And then the hunter would put his arrow in the bow and he would pull back on that bow. The bow was the discipline in our homes. And say, as we pull it back with a guiding hand of love, we take aim on the target. What is the target? The target is full-time service for God. That's what you're trying to do, is train your children for full-time service for God and the guiding hand of love. And we aim, and we pull back on the bow, the discipline, the resistance. And we pull back, guiding that arrow to the target. We get it right on target. And then what must you do if that arrow is going to the target? What must you do? Mother, Dad, you've got to let go. But you've got to let go, Mother. Dad, you've got to let go. My boy, my little boy, going up to Bob Jones University, 600 miles away. Why, who'll do his washing? Who'll tuck him in at night? He's a big 6'3", 210 pounds. But my boy, my boy. And you daddies, I know how you feel about your girls. My sweet little girl. I'm not going to let her go up to Bob Jones University. And why, she might be called to the mission field and end up 10,000 miles away from home. Who'll protect her? Who'll watch over her? Let go, Mom! Let go, Dad! You want that target to reach the goal, that arrow to reach the target, don't you? All right, we've got to let go after we've trained them. Are you training your children to leave home to serve God? Are you training your children to be independent? By the age of 18, parents should be counselors to their children rather than controllers. That's the hardest thing for us as parents to get hold of. I'm very glad my dad trained me to be independent, became a counselor to me at 18, because at 18 years of age, I was in the army and overseas leading troops around Europe in life and death situations, folks. I'm glad he got me to make choices and to be independent, because this is absolutely necessary if your children are going to be trained for God. Now, folks, are we doing the job in our home? Except the Lord build the city, they labor in vain that build it. Unless you have God building your home, you're going to fail. You're going to sit up late. Your children are not going to turn out right. You need God through Jesus Christ. You need to train those children for God. You need to get rid of the enemies that have already invaded our homes. We need to minimize these enemies. Get rid. Watchmen, keep watch. Shut the gates before the enemies come in and take over your home. Let's bow our heads in prayer.